You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Hey, guys, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know we are going to Phenomicon 2024 in Vernal, Utah. This will take place on September 4th through the 7th. They asked me to speak there, and they're giving me 90 minutes to go crazy on stage with you guys, so I had to take advantage of it. I hope to see you guys there in Vernal, Utah on September 4th through the 7th. Get your tickets now. Link in the description below will take you right to their page where you can purchase the tickets and get your spot secured for Phenomicon 2024.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody else, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody, listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want to get some merch, go to merkmerch.com for all your Merkel Media apparel needs. We have our own apparel line. We have great t-shirt designs there. Go ahead and check them out, merkmerch.com. Also, merkelfilms.com is where you can get all your documentaries that we've done on-demand streaming right there at merkelfilms.com. Sasquatch and Missing Man is the most recent documentary. People love it, and you will too. merkelfilms.com. Friends, I'm going to be at Phenomicon 2024. It's in Vernal, Utah. If you're in a 3 to 4 hour radius of Vernal, Utah, I highly suggest you come on out, meet me, listen to my talk for 90 minutes. That's a long time, but I am looking forward to it because I get long-winded and 90 minutes is plenty of time to get my message out. If you want to come on out, hear the talk, hear other people talking as well for 3 days and meet me, hang out. You can even have a VIP dinner with me. It's an add-on to your ticket. Link in the description of this episode for tickets, and you can do that add-on for a VIP dinner on Friday night with yours truly. Looking forward to meeting all you guys out there in Utah within a 3 to 4 hour radius of Vernal. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I see you there. All right, today we have Daniel coming on the show, and Daniel has given me a wild, wild story. Daniel was adopted with his brother, and he had something following him since he was a child. And he's not the only one that has encountered this entity throughout his life. His brother has, his family has, his ex-girlfriend has. In fact, this entity, its name is Zany, followed him to the point that it infiltrated his girlfriend's dream. And then one day while they were driving the vehicle, she looked at him and said, "Who is Zany?" And that's when it all fell apart for him. So let's get to Daniel and this wild story about how Zany followed him throughout his life and what's going on with Zany today. Let's go. All right, today we have Daniel on the show. Daniel, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing today?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Thanks for joining me and hopping on here. So you have a life story that, first of all, I'm glad that you documented it in a book, because I think a lot of times people go to their grave with these stories and they don't actually ever get them out to the world. And I believe that though the experiences that people can go through, especially on the demonic level, but even, you know, cryptids like Bigfoot and all that stuff, like when you take that to your grave and you don't share it with the world, you know, I do feel like there's just a little bit of an injustice in some way, but especially with the demonic side of things. Like, I think, I mean, this is my own personal like life mission though. It's, I wanted to expose to the world that the supernatural realm does exist. It is real. And that's to the world and the Christian church. And so, I like the fact that there are people like you who do document your stuff, write books, and talk about these things. And so, basically what we're going to go to today is we're going to start off with basically your background as to what kind of started all this off in your life, you know, from your childhood and having, I keep saying bloodline, but I think you said cursed blood. So I'm interested to hear what the story is behind that. But it kind of propels you into writing a book. And you said to me before we started recording that the activity had stopped for a long time. You wrote the book and it started kicking back up. And so I'm interested in that. I want to explore that. So let's dive into this today. If you could, before we talk about your childhood and the foundation there, let people know about your book as far as what it's called, where they can get it, and what it's about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony. My book is called The Wrangler, A Letter from Home. It is fiction. It's completely made up, like the storyline, but all the foundation is a lot of things that I've experienced in my life. So a lot of the supernatural in it is stuff that I personally experienced or somebody in my family has. And I just felt like God called me to write this story and to like put it out there for people. And so it's the first of one, it's the first book of four. I'm working on the second one right now. I'm about 50% done. My goal is to get it published next year. So that way I have, you know, keep the storyline going. But basically what it's about four best friends in a town that I created called Alvernt Falls in Washington. And an accident happens when they're in their late teens, early 20s. And one of the main characters, his name's Tatum, his fiance ends up dying. And so because she dies, he ends up moving away. He moves to Denver, Colorado, lives there for quite a few years and starts over, creates his own business, does his own thing. He just wants to leave the falls behind. He doesn't want to worry about it or anything like that. And he gets a letter in the mail addressed to him from, that has the same address as his dead fiance, where she used to live. And it was addressed to him from her. And he opens up the letter and it's a riddle. And inside the envelope is her engagement ring that she died with and that she was buried with. So it invokes him to go back to the falls. And as soon as he gets back to Auburn Falls, it's a crazy ride, man. I'm telling you, if you start this book, you got to have some time to sit down and actually read it, because it's going to suck you in. And then it just takes you for a wild ride. You get on Amazon, you could get on Barnes and Nobles. You could get it all over. I mean, this even being sold in the UK and China, all over the place, man. So you just search my name and you'll see it. It's been out since December 17th, I believe, is the day that I officially published. But yeah, wow, man, I'm proud of it. And you guys should check it out. Yeah, I think you'll love it.
That is cool. I mean, and it being in China and stuff, and the things that you talk about in it, I think maybe housing it as a fictional story, it kind of gets through the gateway, the gatekeepers at times. I know you got to kind of do word soup sometimes with trying to get your publications into certain countries and stuff. So that's really cool, man. Congratulations on that. And people, we'll put a link in the description of this episode so people can check it out and stuff if they're interested. Yeah, there you go. That's the image, and we'll definitely make sure we share that with people. So this is a fiction book that's based kind of off life experiences that drew this storyline up in your head. And, you know, I don't want to go too far off on the book, but I will say this. A lot of times, some of the best fiction books are actually based off reality. And, you know, whether the author decides to house it in a fictional book for whatever reason, usually those are the best. Now, I don't think it's an accident that Stephen King is such a successful author. I highly suspect, I mean, extremely, like in the 98 percentile, suspect that a lot of things that he writes about is information that has been given to him. And whether he understands that or not, I think it makes him the author he is. I think he's annoying, and I don't really care for the man a whole lot as far as like, you know, his Twitter feed and stuff. But outside of that, I think he's an amazing author. So I've been kicking around the idea of writing books myself. In fact, I'm about 95% sure I'm going to start going down that road myself. But you know, anyways, I want to start talking about your childhood. Now, you said since the age of 3, you've been having this issue. I want to know what is the genesis here, not like necessarily like, okay, your first encounter, but why do you say that you have blood that is cursed? What is that about? Because I know you come from a family where I think you said all your siblings are adopted. So do you even know your family history as far as where you actually come from?
So that's the thing is I do. I was adopted at the age of 3. My older brother, Michael, he was adopted with me. He's 13 months older than me. So he was 4 when we were adopted. And before we were adopted, you know, they say, if you remember your childhood, you didn't have a really good one. Cause you're not, like, a lot of kids don't remember all the memories and stuff, but man, me and my brother, we remember like a lot of it. And keep in mind, I'm younger than 3, but I still remember it. And I know it's real because Mike and I, and then we have an older brother, Darren, he was adopted to another family. So I don't know why, but they only wanted him. They didn't take all 3 of us. And then when my parents adopted me and Michael, they actually, you know, they decided to keep us together. So luckily and blessfully, we were raised together and grew up together. But before we were adopted, we lived with our grandfather. He was married to a woman, and she had 3 boys, and we don't know for sure, but we're pretty positive they were in the occult. And the reason why is I remember a lot of darkness there. I mean, for instance, one thing that they used to do is whenever Linda, that was our grandmother, she wasn't our biological grandmother. She was married to our grandfather, and she had 3 teenage boys. And whenever she would leave the house, and we would be home alone, me, Darren, and Michael, my oldest brother, her 3 boys, who were probably, you know, 15, 16, 17, they would run around dressed up in all black with a clown mask. And they would chase us around the house and catch us. And then they beat us. And then they take us to the backyard. And in the backyard, they had a big old pond, and they would throw us into the pond. And once we were drowned, they'd pull us out of the water, bring us out to the shore. And then they, you know, resuscitate us and whatever. But this was like an everyday thing. So, you know, we were so used to, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, as kids. And we didn't know what love was. You know, they never said, I love you, nothing like that. I don't even remember being hugged, bro, before I was adopted. And so, you know, after being adopted, you know, it was, and here's the thing, this is how it kind of blows people away with, is my father's a minister. He's been in the ministry for over 40 years. Right now he pastors the church that him and my mom had built back when I was a kid. And he was a church planner for many years. And so I grew up in a Christian home. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Thursday, if there's youth group, whatever you could think of, I was in the church. And every day before church, before school, we would read the Bible as a family. We would go through the book of Proverbs and read a chapter a day, because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, or 30, and it would match up perfectly for the month, you know. And then we would pray as a family and go off to school. So our foundation, my foundation is Christ. I will tell you this right now. I'm a Christian. My faith is very big to me. I try to talk about it as much as I can. I got to be careful with my careers and stuff, though. But if I, you know, if somebody comes up and somebody wants to talk about it, I'm all open. So we, you know, knowing that, it just kind of brought it to where we didn't really think it was a blood curse until we were older. And I'll get into that. But the first time that I ever saw the entity, he does have a name, and I was contemplating, for a long time whether or not, if you want to say it to you, but I will say, I think I'm going to, and this is why. I listened to your podcast I dropped, I think Tuesday, about the clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the guy's name, I apologize, but I thought he was great. I listened to the whole thing. I thought he was very knowledgeable. But he actually said a name on the podcast, and it was at 24 minutes and 31 seconds. So if you go back and play it, he says the word zanies. Crazy, you know, lunatic. Well, that's actually the name of the demon. His name is Zany. Yeah, his name is Zany, which threw me off because I have never heard anybody say that name. I mean, I know Zanies like is used to describe crazy and lunatic and like insane and stuff, but that's the name that he gave us when we were kids. So that's my whole family. If I say the name, they know who I'm talking about. So hearing that, my mom actually texted me. It was my birthday, August 7th. She texted me. She's like, hey, because she tried to call me, but I was working, so I had to answer the phone right away. And she's like, hey, you need to listen to that podcast because the guy says zany. And I was like, what? But it wasn't towards an entity. It was just a describing word, but he described them as clowns and stuff. Well, zany, he has a white face. He has a huge mouth whenever he appears. His hair is shaggy and crazy, and he's tall. He's like 6'4", 6'7". He's been the same way since day one, since I was 3 years old. And so the first time I ever saw him, I was three. It was a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. We went to bed, you know, had nap time for Sunday. And I remember falling asleep. And I always sleep with my head under the covers because, you know, all the stuff that I experienced as a kid, it was comfortable for me. It was comforting. So I always slept with my head under the covers. I remember him ripping the covers off my bed. And he was standing at the foot of the bed, and he was just staring at me. And when he was staring at me, he looked at me, and I looked at him. And I'm start screaming because I'm a little kid. And he puts his finger up to his mouth like this. He does like the shh, and then he has a big old smile. And then he goes like shakes his head like no, like be quiet, basically. And so my mom came running up the stairs. Michael was sleeping as well. He in our room upstairs. You go to the right hand. He had his home bed. Of course, and then there was a nightstand between us, and I was on the second bed, and so closest to the stairway. And my mom came running up, thinking that one of us fell out of the bed, one of us got hurt. She couldn't see him, but Michael and I both did. And Michael woke up screaming because he saw him too, and we were both screaming. Well, she took us downstairs, and at the kitchen table where we sat, if you sat at the end of it, you could look directly up the staircase. And I'm 3 years old. She's holding me, rubbing my back, saying it's okay. And I kept telling her I'm seeing something. She doesn't really believe it. She keeps telling me there's nobody there. And I'm looking at the top of the staircase, and he's standing at the top of the staircase looking down at me, smiling with his finger over his lip. So that's the first time I ever saw Zany. And throughout my whole life, he's just been there. And so the older I got and the more experiences that I experienced, my uncle, it would have been my mom's brother, he was very, really, really big in his religion, which is, you know, he was Christian for a long time, believed in God. And actually, God used him multiple times to cast out demons and to, you know, pray over people. And just he was on fire for God. And when he was getting older, he really wanted to learn more about the demonic. So that way he could prepare himself more when he goes, you know, to do stuff like that. And man, the devil just got a hold of him and sucked him in. And he just changed his whole, you know, his whole way of life. He actually became really big in the occult, became really big in witchcraft and all that stuff. And so, but me and him always had a relationship. He passed away about 2 years ago, I want to say now. But so whenever I would experience things or anytime I ever saw things or anything ever happened to me, I would call my Uncle Gary. And we would talk about it. And he would tell me, you know, we would talk about it. He would give me his best explanation, or he would just be there to listen. He'll tell me, hey, this is what you need to do, or whatever. And so he's actually the one who really believes that it was a blood curse because of how attached Zany is to me. I remember one day he called me and he said, Daniel, I'm going to ask you some questions. They're going to be weird, but just I want you to be honest with me. I was like, okay, yeah. And so he was asking me different things. And then the last question he asked me was, he said, do you have a mark on your body, like a scar that you can't explain?
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today.